Attention, pleasure seekers. What if I told you there was a toy that was so iconic that it practically set the standard for all my favorite products? Allow me to introduce or reintroduce to you the Magic Wand. Dubbed the Cadillac of Vibrators, the Magic Wand is more than just a toy. It's a culture icon, a symbol of power and unapologetic pleasure. I mean, do you know any other toys that have been praised in Time magazine? Didn't think so. With a unique rumble that resonates deep within, the Magic Wand Original is not just a product, it's a trusted confidant. And it's a sure thing. Never had an orgasm? Try a magic wand. Never given your party a full body massage? Try the magic wand. Listen, it's rightfully earned accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I've been so obsessed with my magic wand, I even drilled holes in my bedside table so that she's always next to me in case I need her. Well, that was years ago. Because now there are multiple iterations of the magic wand, allowing you to pick whatever model fits your lifestyle. You can go wireless with the magic wand rechargeable, tiny with the magic wand mini, or micro. Micro's really mini. Or go for variety with the Magic Wand Plush. The best part though, all of them have the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original so popular. So if you're ready to make some magic, visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to cast a spell on the world. Magic Wand, not just a vibrator, an icon of pleasure.
That all of us have the potential to be great lovers, attentive lovers. It's just our conditioning, our upbringing, the shame, the trauma, all the messages that makes us boring. Because I don't think anybody wants to be boring in bed. Nobody wants to be shut down when it comes to sex.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and I'm here to help you prioritize your pleasure and liberate the conversation around sex. Hi, everyone. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Emily Morse. I have a doctorate in human sexuality. I am a sex educator. I've been talking about sex for over 15 years, and my mission is to help you have those difficult conversations, whether we're talking about moving through a breakup, improving oral sex, the importance of lube, keeping things hot in a long-term relationship. We have a lot of episodes. You could just go back and listen, subscribe. That's the easiest way to do it. Okay, breakups. I know, they can be painful. Losing a partner can feel like a mini death. Maybe you were planning a future together. I get it. In this episode, I give my top tips for how to cope with a breakup and just reground yourself. You will survive. So if you're struggling to move on, I believe that following even any one of these steps will help you recover. I also answer your questions with tips for giving better oral sex, sexy gift recommendations for long-distance relationships, how to figure out your own body for the first time, perhaps, and communication tools for expressing your emotional and sexual needs. All right, intentions with Emily. For each episode, join me in setting an intention. So what I mean is, when you're listening, what do you want to get out of listening to this episode? How could it help you? It could be, I'm still not over my ex and I'm stuck. Well, my intention is to give you tools to move past an ex or really any breakup in your life. It could be a job. Same things apply. And I want you to realize that we learn from all of our relationships. And I promise if you do the work, you will come out healthier on the other side. Enjoy the show. Let's talk about how to recover and heal from a breakup. A lot of you want to know the best tips for it. How do you move through it? I'm going to start with an email from Joshua, 41, in Springfield, Oregon. Dear Emily, I broke up with my ex 3 years ago. We were together for over 11 years. We had great sex until I started my company. Over the years of being in business, I forgot how to be intimate with my ex. With her being gone, I'm not interested in my company succeeding anymore, and I can't move on. It's been almost 4 years since I've seen her, but I can't seem to let go. Why is that? All right, Joshua, thanks for your question. Well, I've got a list here of my top tips for moving through a breakup. And Joshua, you should check this list. Have you done all of these? If not, you might want to try it out. All right. The first step is to feel your feelings. We are all different. We are all different people. The way we experience loss and breakups and the way we cope varies from person to person. But the important thing is to know how to actually allow yourself to feel and to grieve. And I just want to normalize it because we've all gone through breakups. You know that moment when you're going through a breakup? Tell me if you've done this. And I can tell you from experience, I've probably done it most of the times. I think, I'll never get over this. Or I've made a mistake and this person is the best thing that's ever happened to me. You know, is the pain going to end? Do I want to go back to him? And so just know that's part of the process. But just remember, you broke up for a reason. And then I want you guys to acknowledge your feelings, allow yourself to grieve, because a breakup is like a mini death. Even if the relationship was fraught with issues, it still can feel like a part of you is missing. Allow yourself the space and the time to cry, because crying gives us a release that improves our mood and it helps you feel better in the long run. So if you haven't cried yet, and you've just been busy distracting yourself, you're working more, you're sleeping with a bunch of people, and you haven't shed the tears yet, you haven't felt the feelings, that's your first step. One more thing about feeling your feelings is that it feels like a withdrawal. Like you are withdrawing from a drug because you're no longer getting all of those feel-good, happy hormones, the endorphins, the oxytocin that you were actually getting from your partner, from being with them, from touch with them, from sex with them. So think of it this way. Remember that rush you had when you were falling in love and everything was amazing? Well, heartbreak sort of brings up the opposite feelings. So be patient with yourself. Acknowledge it's normal to feel really bad. And I promise you it doesn't last forever. My second step, call your friends. Hang out with your people, the people that are good for you. Avoid all those toxic energy suckers in your life. The people that make you feel worse after you hang out with them, don't hang out with those people. The people who build you up and you feel better and they support you, go towards those people. Your strong support network, friends, families, loved ones, find those people. Let them know what you're going through, because the people in our life who care about us and want to support us, they're going to know how to show up for you. They're not going to say, well, let's go bang a bunch of people. Let's go get wasted. I'm not talking about those people. And remember to make plans. I know that on the weekends going through a breakup, sometimes the Saturdays are hard, Sundays are the longest day ever. So get ahead of it. Get ahead of that empty time in your schedule. Make a plan with a friend or your family. Volunteering is just fills you up, you guys. Really, volunteer. Give back. And let people know how they can help you. When it comes to these people in your life, avoid triangulation. Avoid reaching out to your ex, their friends, you know, avoid reaching out to the mutual friends you had with your ex just so you could check up on them and everything we're doing. That's not part of the healthy community that I'm talking about. Next step is self-care. I know it's that self-care thing again, but invest in your physical health. Studies show that rejection, when we experience rejection, that actually causes you real pain and it lights up the same part of your brain as if you broke a leg. So yes, you feel that you're in pain. The best antidote to pain is being healthy and making choices that are good for you, like getting enough sleep, eating healthy, make yourself go for a walk. Release all those endorphins. You need them now more than ever. Maybe start a new workout routine. You know, for me, working out is always so helpful, and it helps when I have an accountability partner, somebody who I'm going to work out with you on Mondays and Wednesdays. Then I know I can't miss it. So if it's been hard for you to start a routine, find someone to help support you. And here's my big don't for this category of self-care. Don't go on the road of self-destruction, partying, drinking, overeating, chain smoking. You know, this is how you know. It's all the things that make you feel good in the moment and they make you feel like crap after. So everything in moderation. I'm not saying you won't go out for a few cocktails, but just don't surround yourself with the toxic people, okay? Next thing is you got to write it out. You just do. Write it all out. Journal. You can write about your feelings and all the good stuff, you know, that you liked, but kind of focus on the stuff that wasn't so great. A lot of times after we go out with someone, we focus on the things we miss about them. And that's when we put them on a pedestal and we think of this euphoric recall. We somehow forget that they were slobs or they were never on time or they cheated on us. We forget all the bad things and we're like, but they made me feel so good. So instead of writing down all the things you're going to miss, take time to write down things that bothered you about your ex, including big things and little things. You know, if they weren't interested in talking about the future and they didn't want to commit to you, write that down. Remind yourself of these things and why it would never have worked anyway. I cannot tell you how important this is. This is a huge step because I've seen it too many times. It's euphoric recall. We do it. So write it down, remember, and then you can refer back to this list. And you're like, oh yeah, I forgot about that. The next step, cut ties with your ex. Just do it. Unfollow on social media, all the platforms, even Venmo. Okay? Listen, you might have thought you removed everything, and then Amanda on my team said she forgot to unfollow on Venmo, and then she saw that he paid some new woman for lingerie. It was heartbreaking. So be ruthless. Get rid of your ex's stuff. Remove the reminders in your house. I know you love sleeping with his old sweatshirt. I know you like the smell of her perfume in your bathroom. Trash it. It's okay to feel okay blocking your ex on all social media and getting rid of their stuff. And please don't spend extra time scrolling their social if you didn't unfollow them, because I know that's hard to do, or following their friends' social media, playing the shoulda, woulda, coulda game. Oh, we coulda. No, because this is what I want to tell you. You all want to know, can I be friends with my ex? Well, we're just friends now. You are not friends after a breakup. You are not. You need to take at least 30, 60, 90 days with zero contact. It's the no contact rule. I'm not going to go back on this one. I'm telling you, I'm friends with many of my exes, like very dear friends, but we didn't go from lovers to friends. We took time away where we didn't talk, and that's hard. But the more that you're able to follow these steps, though it might feel like it's harder because you think, oh, I just want to talk to them. They were my best friend. You're just prolonging the pain. You're prolonging this period of mourning. So cut them. And no, you can't be friends with the toxic exes. The narcissist, toxic exes, they're likely not going to change. Those are not the ones that are going to be your friends. The next thing is masturbation, self-love. Take time right now to soothe yourself. Find new erogenous zones, places on your body that feel good. I mean, not only is it good for you, because again, we want to try to get as many feel-good hormones as we can, and orgasms do that for us. But you'll also be in a great place when you date again because you'll already be sexually connected to your body. And then you get to sort of detach yourself from associating sex with your ex. Because if you go right from your ex to sleeping with someone new and there's no in-between self-loving orgasm, then you're just going to automatically associate sex with your ex. So get a new toy. Treat yourself. Now, rebound sex. If you're going to sleep with somebody right after, if you're using it for revenge, oh, I'm going to sleep with their best friend, or just a distraction, it's probably not going to work because you're going at it with the wrong intentions. But if you are actually curious, like, I'd like a new connection with someone else. I want someone else to touch my body. I want to practice all those things that you hear on the show. Like, oh, you know what? In my next relationship, I'm going to practice asking for what I want. I'm going to practice receiving. This can be transformative. I'm all for that kind of rebound sex. And also, if you're with someone new, it's only fair to be honest with them about, hey, I'm going through a breakup. I'm not looking for anything right now. Be clear. Be clear, be clear, be clear. So my final words on a breakup is go at your own pace. A lot of people want to know how long does it take to get over somebody, but I don't want to lock you into a timeline. And don't judge yourself for how long it's taking. As long as you're working on yourself, and you're healing, and you're surrounding yourself with people who support you, you're engaging in new activities, you're going easy on yourself. We learn so much from going through pain and getting to the other side of it because we always get through it. I promise you, you will survive this pain and you'll get through it. But the more distance we get from somebody, you know, the more time that goes by, it'll be a lot easier to heal and it'll be a lot easier to feel that much stronger and that much more evolved and have a deeper internal knowing of yourself when you get into the next relationship. So I'm sending you all lots of love if you're going through this right now. And I promise you, it only gets better. I'm going to take a quick break, but stick around. I'm talking to Casey about how she can learn to have an orgasm with her partner right after this. The There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread, so here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co.
Let's talk to Casey, 22 in Massachusetts. Hi, Casey. Thanks for calling. What's going on?
Hi.
Hi.
I'm just calling up. I'm turning 23 soon, and I actually recently got engaged, which I'm very excited about. But I'm concerned that something's like wrong with me, which I know I probably shouldn't say because I've never orgasmed before by myself or with a partner. Mm. And I've looked on the internet for advice, and I feel like I've kind of tried everything the internet has to offer.
Right. Okay, Casey. First off, nothing wrong with you. Totally normal, typical. A lot of us don't orgasm right away. It takes a little bit of time to get to know our bodies and stuff. So you have come to the right place. So Casey, it's all good. So you looked on the internet, and what did you find?
I found a lot of like maybe it's in your mind kind of things, like you're trying too hard, which sounds like me.
Yeah, I get it.
So I'm trying to relax, having a few glasses of wine before, and then the whole idea that you have to get used to your body before you can try to explain to somebody else what you like, which so far everything I've tried I've liked and I enjoy having sex. It's just I never get to that point.
Okay. Is your fiance, what does he think about it? Have you talked to him about, you know, your orgasms and pleasure and stuff like that?
Yes. I think he's confused too because I don't know what it takes for me. And so I don't want to say it's an uncomfortable subject, but it's one of those things that I'll bring up and he'll be like, what can I do to fix it? And I'm like, well, I don't know.
Right.
And so it's,
it might
it's
be good for you guys to
kind of a source of tension, I guess.
Well, I'm so glad you're not married yet. Cause this would be something great for you guys to tackle before you walk down the aisle. Here's the thing, Casey, it takes a little bit of time. And I hadn't had an orgasm at 23 either. And I really had to like, and I thought something was wrong with me because my friends were like kind of the same way. They're like, you have never had an orgasm? Haven't you masturbated? And I didn't even masturbate. I didn't even know to masturbate. I mean, it's really just a matter of giving yourself time to like go in your room, use some lube. Do you have lube?
Oh, yes.
Okay. So lube is a really important part of orgasm for many women of all ages. So using some lube and then just, because it's about going slow and sort of using a light touch. Mm-hmm. It's not about internal. Like you don't really want to go in and start, you know, using your finger internally. It's really about touching and the clitoris and using like a light tapping or moving your finger in circles or, you know, stroking up and down your labia. I mean, all those areas are sensitive. The tricky part is keeping your mind engaged so you're not like, is that it? Is that it? Is that it? Because that's what happens and then it's not sexy. So you could like listen to some audio erotica where you could hear people talking, sexy stories. He could do this with you. I mean, he could just start to slowly sit there and touch you and stroke you and like look at you and just sort of just use his fingers, make sure he's got clean hands, and he just starts to, it's a really light touch. Because what we learn in media is like, oh, I got to take a finger and go inside and start like, you know, stick it inside. But it's for most vulva owners, we need a really light, sensitive touch to just sort of stroking around with like fingers, on like the pads of the fingers. And then also your pelvic floor. So you know the pee-stopping muscles? When you're, it's those muscles like, if you tense and relax those muscles sometimes when you're touching yourself, you're sort of like pumping the muscles that are responsible for orgasm. So you can kind of play with those. That can also help increase arousal by tensing and relaxing those muscles. It's really about all of your senses. So if you can light your favorite candle, engaging everything and giving yourself permission to just explore and not just get there. You will get there. And also a toy's great, using a vibrator, you know, like something like the ZumiO is a great toy for exploration. It sort of rotates. I mean, we have so many nerve endings, so every woman's different about what makes her have an orgasm. And it's about going slow. It's like a slow touch and knowing that you have enough time. And it might take 20, 40 minutes. You know, that's how long it takes women to have an orgasm. So it's really about patience and a buildup. And you might not feel anything the first 5-10 minutes. It's not a quick thing. And getting out of your head, like, is this it? Is this it? Because you can't do that. I'm telling you, from someone who did
that
for years.
That's probably what it is.
Yeah. And
that's
breathing is important too.
I'm definitely way too in my head.
Yeah. It's not clinical like that. It's not like you get it and then you're there and no one explains that to you. And I've got tons of podcasts that might help you. You and your partner could listen together. I know that so many couples email me and say, we listen together, or you know, or you can both listen separately and then discuss it, kind of like a book club, but it's a podcast club, because then you're going to start to hear these familiar messages about it takes a while to orgasm, breathing, using lube, your partner being patient.
Okay, but thank you so
much. Of course, Casey, you got to have a great night. Let's talk to Rob, 49, in California. Hi, Rob. What's going on? Thanks for calling.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm in the middle of ending a relationship.
Okay.
We've been together for 5 years. We live together. And it just turned out to be toxic. A lot of the traits that you had mentioned in a previous like podcast, she does that to me. She like gaslamps me. She flips things around. Like every time I say like, hey, I want to talk about it to try to fix our problems, it flips out to all the things I do wrong.
Right.
If I have an issue or I'm stressing about something, it now it becomes my stress becomes something how it affects her, not like how we can help me with my problem.
And gaslighting. Yep.
And then so she broke her leg and, you know, she's been sitting at home and I've been taking care of her, and the whole time taking care of her, it's like anything I try to do to help, I go right. She goes, why didn't you go left? If I go left, she's like, why didn't you go right? And it's like, so, you know, I was like, okay, you know, we got into a big argument, words were said or whatever. And I was just like, you know what? I think I'm the best thing for me to go. So I'm in the process of doing that. And her mom has cancer. And now all of a sudden it's like, it's getting, like she just sent me a text saying bad news and things like that. Now I feel like an ass because I'm leaving her with a broken leg and her mom's, you know, sick, ill, but I think it's just a head game.
Yes, I think you're right. I mean, I think you know what's going on. You've been trying to leave her. There will always be that thing. And the sooner you cut yourself from the relationship, she'll have to find other resources. She'll have to find friends to support her, you know, with her mother or her family. But that is not your responsibility to be her main source of care and emotional support, especially if the relationship is ending. You can still care for her, but the most caring thing you could do is to let her go.
That's what I feel like is the best thing, because I mean, this our arguing is so bad, it's affecting her child. And I'm just like, I don't need to be here if I'm making things worse.
Right.
It's like, and it's really... You know,
yeah, you have to say, you have to keep your boundaries. This is something new. The reason why we kind of get caught up in these things with people is because we don't have great boundaries, because we're like, oh, I owe this to them, or I need to be their caretaker, or I really love this person. Am I supposed to leave them mourning alone with a broken leg?
But you've already put your time into this relationship and you've already made the decision. I think that leaving a toxic relationship, it's never going to be without difficulty, without feeling like you're still tied to it, without feeling like there's something you're doing wrong. But that's probably been how you have felt this whole time in many ways. And she might not hear you. You could write a letter. You could write an email. You could just say, but it's time for you. The best thing you can do is lovingly, like, detach. You said you're still living together?
Yeah, like, I'm going to move out by tomorrow.
Oh, like, okay.
This is, like, really fresh, and I'm actually just driving just to clear my head.
Oh, well, you came to the right place. I'm glad you called. I mean, it sounds like, do you have a place to go? So you have a plan? Does she know you're leaving tomorrow?
Oh, yeah, yeah, I got it together. Like, I have a place to go. I just, you know, I feel bad. I mean, I feel bad.
She, I know.
She's hitting the nerve. Like,
she is.
But I just, but I also know it's a head game.
It's a head game. It is a head game. And I know it's cancer and it's her mom and that's really scary, but you know, you've been down this road before. I love that you figured this out at 49, Rob, and you will find someone. You will no longer be attracted to those types of people again, because now you have a name for it. It's just, it's no longer, but you're at the final stretch right now. You're so close. And she pulled out one more thing, you know? And I'm really glad you're taking space right now and just driving and figuring it out, because you got to go in strong and protect it and say, this is what's happening. I'm leaving tomorrow. I'm moving out. And I need you to, you know, surround yourself with people. And I love you. And this is going to be healthy for both of us. I mean, there was always going to be a thing. There's always going to be something, because that's why you've stayed so long, because there's always something where she makes you feel bad. And I'm similar to that. I've been in similar situations where I feel bad. I feel guilt. I don't want to hurt someone. I think, oh God, but we're not responsible. We really are not. We're all responsible for our own emotions and our own well-being. But you've certainly done the work to learn. Like, you've put in hours and time and therapy, and you'll find a healthier partner for you right now.
Yeah.
You can lovingly detach from her.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Yes,
love your show.
Of course. Thanks, Rob. Thanks for calling. We got you. When we come back, I'm answering emails, including one from Megan, whose boyfriend wants to break up after a bumpy sex talk. Megan, 27, in Michigan, writes, I decided to be open and honest with my boyfriend of 4 years today about wanting him to be more dominant, assertive, dirty when we have sex. We've barely had any sex the last year due to many factors, but a lot of it is how my needs are not being met. He's great, but he's boring. This ended in him not being mad, but wanting to break up due to us not being sexually compatible. Neither of us want that outcome. What can be done to have my needs met without making him uncomfortable? All right, Megan, that's tricky, tricky, tricky. You got to have the sex conversation when you're both hanging out. It's not after sex. It's not in the bedroom. It's sort of outside the bedroom. And it's about, hey, let's just talk about our sex life. It's okay to have a drink. Maybe you're having a dinner and just say, I want to talk about, you know, realize we've been having a lot of sex lately. And, you know, I realized that after 4 years together, I have some needs. I have some cool things I'd like to try in the bedroom. Would you be open to spanking me, talking dirty? And I don't know if this is the first time you've told him, because the other thing is, it's been 4 years. You stopped having sex in the last year. And then to come out of the gate and say, we never have sex, you're not boring, you're not doing enough, I might break up with you too, because you're blaming and you're shaming in a way. Not that you meant to blame and shame, but that's how he heard it. Because to back that up, if you've never talked about sex with your partner, and then I'll guarantee you that your partner, if he's never talked about sex with you, he's probably never talked about sex with anybody. Probably didn't have sex education, probably maybe was shamed for it growing up talking about sex, so it was never welcome. And then it's kind of shameful. It's kind of embarrassing, right? We just don't talk about sex. That's how most of this world, at least definitely in America, is made up. So then you come out of the gate and you're like, we're not having sex. I need you to talk dirty. I need you to be assertive. And da da da. And then he feels like, I'm out. I don't know how to fix this. I feel shamed. I feel awful. I want to be a great lover to you. And now I'm just like, how do I get out of this feeling horrible? So I'm just going to bail. So if you want to make it work with him, you can sort of roll this back and say, let's just kind of go back to the basics here. What kind of sex really turned you on? What are the three most memorable times we've had sex? I can tell you my most memorable times we've had sex.
let me walk through with you. And this is not just a one-time conversation. This is an ongoing conversation that, you know, my goal is for couples to have it all the time. And then it becomes fun once you get past the shame and the embarrassment and the him feeling inadequate and you feeling bad. That stuff goes away, you know? The problem with the sex conversation is that we all take it so personally, and then it becomes an assault on our character, and then we can't move past it. But imagine a world where we just talk about it all the time, right? Like, all the time. And it just becomes part of our lexicon. We're just talking about it. And so then when you bring it up, like, oh, I realized we didn't have as much sex last week and I would love to have more. It's not like an assault on his character. I think what you're going to find is, you know, maybe he is a lot more interesting than you think. I think that all of us have the potential to be great lovers, to be attentive lovers. It's just our conditioning, our upbringing, our backgrounds, the shame, the trauma, all the messages that makes us boring. Because I don't think anybody wants to be boring in bed. Nobody wants to be shut down when it comes to sex. But we don't have a lot of great role models or people doing it or examples, which is why I think a lot of you listen to this show. But what my world that I envision is that you all have these tools at your disposal without me. So starting there, let's plan out the year. Let's talk about it. You can apologize to him if you hurt his feelings. And you could say, let's just start assuming that we're both coming from the same place. We both have the same intention. I want to be a great lover to you. You want to be a great lover to me. And let's start from there. And then you might find out that he's really into some things and you're into some things. And maybe there's some place that overlaps. And just remember this, that if you've been telling your partner that you want to be more dominant, assertive, and dirty, if he doesn't know how to do any of those things, he's going to say no. He's going to break up. He's going to want to leave because he doesn't know where to start. It feels awkward, embarrassing. How would he know? Maybe he grew up somewhere where it was like not cool to be dominant. Maybe it was, you know, all this talk with Me Too. He's like, wait, you want me to be a gentleman, but then you want me to talk dirty to you? Is that wrong? Is that right? There's all these, it gets very, very complicated. So start to break this down carefully with each other, gently. And be kind to each other and just say, we're both in this together. It's like our caller earlier who's 23 and getting married and never had an orgasm. And her partner's like a fixer. He's like, I don't know. How can I help? And she doesn't know. And then he doesn't know. And then we're left on our own. But you don't have to be the only one leading the charge in your sexual relationship. You both are in it together. Make it a fun project. A lot of us are home right now. We can't really be going out and doing the same things. Why not decide that 2021 is going to be the year of pleasure? And I have a prediction that with all of the suffering that's been going on, mental health, physical health, that we are just going to need a lot more guidance to going towards our own pleasure. It's not hedonistic. I mean, it can be hedonistic. It's not wrong. It's not selfish. It's actually a requirement. And we have lives that are mostly about pain and suffering and fear and not a lot of pleasure. That's not a world I want to live in at all. So, can we just all assume that our partners want to be great lovers? They want to meet our needs. They want to please us because, I mean, is that how you started out? I don't think so. And then we just get tangled up along the way in resentments. This happened and that happened. And then eventually your sex life is dead. But I don't think that we want to start from that place. So start over, rebuild, start building it now. Just trust that maybe you haven't done it in a way that he could hear. That's what you got to do. That's what I'm talking about.
Dear Dr. Emily, any naughty suggestions to send a boyfriend as a solo use gift? Toys, lubes, etc. We live long distance. Well, I've often said this is the best time to be in a long distance relationship because, well, even before the pandemic, I kept saying there is so much great technology right now to stay connected to a partner. So if you want to send them something naughty, solo gift, check out the ArcWave. It's the world's first pleasure air stroker. Think womanizer for vulvas. You've all heard about the womanizer. They just made one for a penis. And you'll experience a new type of orgasm. You pulsating airwaves that stimulate the frenulum, which is the underside of the penis. I just think the ArcWave is a great toy. You could each get a WeVibe toy. You could get the Moxie, you could get them the Verge, which is a great penis ring, and then you guys could launch the WeConnect app and you could chat on their app, which allows you to see not only see each other, but also control each other's vibrators. Just go to their website, go to our website, sexwithemily.com, and check out all of our toys. I would send them a care package of lube. You could get them some Pure Lube, which is a great bottle to use for masturbation or through toys. You could send him a picture of yourself. If you trust him with naked photos, you could send him some of your underwear that you've worn. You could write him erotica. You could actually handwrite him a letter about your fantasies, about something that you remember about your last sexual experience, about how much you want to see him. It's really hot for our partners to read something that we've written about our sexual experiences. Super hot. So that's what I recommend for you. And good luck with the long distance. This is from Jake, 20, from Prague, from the Czech Republic. Dear Dr. Emily, I'm a recent listener to the show and I'm loving it. I've already learned so much and find that your show is helping me feel more confident with my sexuality. I'm a big giver and I've been told in the past by partners I'm good at oral. However, with my current girlfriend, I don't seem to be able to do the trick. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's that she has a bigger hood over her clitoris and I don't seem to hit her clit as well. We talked about this and this seems to be the problem. For example, it took me a while to finger her because I did notice the bigger hood. It was unsure what to do. I was wondering if you have any tips for this specific challenge and for giving better oral in general. I also want to know how I can get her to masturbate. The reason I think it's important is that she's never had an orgasm, does not know how to guide me. She's told me she's nearly orgasm with me, but then something will switch in her head and she won't get there. I thought perhaps she would benefit from masturbating and learning what works for her on her own, but she's weirded out by the idea. All right, Jake, thank you for your question. So I love that you're in your 20s and you're asking this question. Yeah, I think you're totally right that it is important for her to masturbate. You know, I feel that everybody needs to masturbate because that's how we're going to learn our body. Now, maybe she grew up in an environment where it was shamed or they said she shouldn't masturbate. And it seems it can be very intimidating. It can be a scary thing to do. Like, where do I start? So just saying, hey, get in your room and masturbate when she's never done it is tricky. So we have a ton of posts on our site about masturbation and episodes, and maybe if she just learns some beginner tips, that would help her. I also recommend mutual masturbation. Perhaps you can masturbate, and then she masturbates alongside of you with you encouraging her and being there with her and her just exploring and going slow and using lots of lube. And you mentioned her larger clitoral hood. I don't see why that would actually preclude you from being able to put a finger inside of her, but I think using a mirror, maybe getting a mirror and you both look, you know, you can kind of vulva map her, if you will. Take your hands while she's lying back and you guys could use a mirror and kind of explore her body so she understands what goes on down there. It's truly amazing. If you've never taken a mirror and looked, you're going to realize that like when you start to touch yourself slowly that it swells and sometimes the clitoral hood retracts. And then you'll see the clitoris comes out and it kind of blooms like a flower because the blood starts to flow. And then you start to feel more turned on. And for many vulva owners, it starts with slow touch, deliberate touch with lots of lube. The mutual masturbation part is cool because then you could each, you know, again, going back to that, you could guide each other. You know, maybe you don't masturbate, but you focus on her and you kind of guide her along so she feels safe. Another thing I recommend is the Kiven method, and that's a great oral sex tip that you can find on our website at sexwithemily.com, and essentially it's a process of oral where you're lying perpendicular to her body, so you're lying from her like thigh to thigh, you're not like going from her head to toe, and you're taking your tongue and you're able to spread across a larger surface area, so from thigh to thigh. You're covering more clitoral nerves that way. So you're hitting the outer labia, the inner labia, the clitoris, then the next side, the outer labia, the inner labia, you're teasing her thighs. It just gives you a little bit more access and control. And again, that's K-I-V-I-N. Check that blog on our website. It's worked for a lot of people. But I'm not really hearing that you need better oral sex tips or different oral sex tips. I'm more hearing that we have to allow your girlfriend to feel empowered and to start to understand her own body and get over any shame or discomfort she has around masturbation. Again, the great thing is that you're in your 20s and it's never too late to start learning, but I'd say that this is a great time to start. Definitely invest in some lube. You can also try some toys, but I would just roll back, start with a mirror, start with looking, playing, and taking off the pressure. And remember, have fun with this. Have fun. She's got to breathe, go slow, and continue the healthy communication. You sound like a great guy, and I feel like you're both going to get there. That's it for today's episode. See you on Friday. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us a review wherever you listen to the podcast. And share this with a friend or a partner. Believe me, if you got something out of it, they will too. We release shows on Tuesdays and Fridays, and look out for a bonus episode every now and then. Find me on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. It's all at Sex with Emily. And I've been told I give really good newsletters. So sign up at sexwithemily.com and don't forget to check out our blogs. If you want to talk to me, ask your questions about your sex life, dating, or relationships, email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com, or call into my SiriusXM show Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Pacific, and call me, 888-94-STARS. That's 888-947-8277. Get a free 30-day trial at sexwithemily.com/SXM. You can watch my masterclass on masterclass.com/Emily Morse. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com.